I am who I am says I am. That's what we at last week. And if that sounds like a confusing title, well, I am in the middle there is the personal name of God. When Moses said, who shall I say, spoke out of the burning bush, the answer was, well, I am spoke. I am spoke. So I am who I am says I am. And what we were realizing was last week was that we only become who we're called to be, and we only achieve what we've been called to achieve when we understand and we accept our identity. Now, we were thinking about that specifically in the context of last week of authority. Identity precedes authority. Now, the reason we were focusing on the subject of authority last week is out of a conviction that this is the first of the three areas that we're being challenged to grow in this year. The second area that we're looking at this evening is the area of Jubilee. Jubilee. Now, what is Jubilee, and why do we... The more I say the word, the less reasonable it sounds. Jubilee, Jubilee, Jubilee. No, that's getting even worse. But anyway, it's a real word. And why do we need to grow in it? Well, you'll see on your outlines, I think, a couple of verses from Leviticus chapter 25, verses 54 and 55. They're on your outline. Of course, I don't actually have a copy of that. Of course I don't. But anyway, never mind. Thank you. Thank you for the thoughts. But really, in Leviticus, what we see indicated is that Jubilee was a particular occasion that was set aside to be remembered every time it came around for the Israelites in the Old Testament. It's an important time. So in verses 8 to 10 of Leviticus 25, it says, in addition, you must count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 years times 7, adding up to 49 years in all. Then on the Day of Atonement of the 50th year, blow the trumpets loud and long throughout the land. This year will be set apart as holy, a time to proclaim release for all who live there. It will be a Jubilee year for you. So every 50 years, there was a year that was set aside called the Jubilee year. Now, it's a special year when various things happened. Why was it called Jubilee? The word Jubilee comes from the Hebrew word yodel, yodel. Not yodelay hee ho, no. Thank you. Let me just forestall that. But yodel, which which means to be jubilant or to exult. Well, it's also a word that's related to the Hebrew word for a ram's horn or a trumpet. So the Jubilee year, the 50th year after 7 cycles of 7 years, was launched with a blast from a ram's horn on the Day of Atonement, signifying a call to joy and to liberation and the beginning of a year for doing justice and loving mercy. So it's a big deal. Well, it was a big deal then. But what has that admittedly fairly obscure celebration that occurred just twice every century, what's that actually got to do with us here at Kingfisher? Especially as we're not 50 years old. This is not our Jubilee. Oh, we're actually only 25 years old this year. What relevance can this possibly have for us? How does it fit in with the theme, I am who I am says I am? I think you'd be surprised to find how relevant this is to us today. And even though it's true that Kingfish is nowhere near 50 years old, we should still be celebrating Jubilee, as we'll come to see. Because Jubilee is about far more than giving the land rest every 50 years, far more than that. It was Jubilee was inaugurated, actually, before the Israelites went into the promised land. They had no land, and they were being told to give it rest every 50 years. There is no land. So it's a real act of faith. And then centuries later, when they were about to lose the land and be taken in, off into exile, Isaiah restated the promise of Jubilee. Right in at the end of the book of Isaiah, we're told, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to bring comfort to the brokenhearted, and to announce that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He's sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair, for the Lord has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his glory." So he restates the promise then, because whatever God promises will come to pass, no matter how unlikely the circumstances may seem. What makes this relevant for us today is that what is announced in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus. Now, Paul states that clearly when he says, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in him, Jesus. That is why we say amen when we give glory to God through Christ." God's promises in the Old Testament are ultimately fulfilled in Christ, including what he said about Jubilee, which was actually a point that Jesus went out of his way to make clear in the first sermon that Luke records him as giving. Now, in that sermon, he reads those words from Isaiah, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. After he's read them, Jesus rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. Everyone in the synagogue stared at him intently. Then he said, "This scripture has come true," literally has been fulfilled, "today, before your very eyes." Now, why is this important? Why is God particularly challenging us at Kingfisher to understand and put this into practice? Because of what Jubilee stands for, and because Jesus says what Jubilee stands for now comes into effect because I am here. This is being fulfilled in me. I am here, and so Jubilee kicks in. All that Jubilee means, not just once every 50 years, but continually now in this era between the first and the second coming, is available to us, and we are expected to be operating in that. And it's what the Lord is actually seeking to restore to his church right now. So, what does Jubilee mean? What is the promise of Jubilee that our identity in Christ releases in our lives? Well, Jubilee is about the promise of release from bondage. So originally, this was to do with the Israelites who'd been sold to other Israelites as slaves. And when the year of Jubilee comes around, those slaves had the right to walk free, back to their old life. If they chose not to during that year, at any time during that year, they had the year, and if they chose not to take up that option, then they were considered to be slaves for the rest of their lives. Isaiah, as he prophetically looks forward, sees the time when the Israelites who've become captives in the land of Babylon would be set free and allowed to return to their own land. Now, that happened 70 years after 70 years of exile, as we know. But then Jesus takes the theme up
Centuries later, he quotes Isaiah, claiming the words for himself. He, God, has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. See, he's understanding this is, he's understanding those words in a bigger context. Not just release from physical slavery, but release from slavery to sin. Set free to experience life in the kingdom of heaven. Not just the same person, but in a different state, but starting all over again as a new person. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. This was Jesus declaring that he'd come to seek and to save the lost. Now, you might remember that I've said in the past, and I've written about it somewhere or other, that salvation has three tenses. Past tense, which is justification. I have been saved by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Present tense, salvation, that's sanctification. I am being saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in my life, melting the icicles that are on me. You'll know what that is if you've been through an inquirer's group. But basically changing me to become more and more the person that I was created to be. And future tense salvation, glorification. I will be saved. There's a day of great rejoicing coming when I see Jesus face to face in glory, when either he comes for me or I go to him. And that's the glorious day, glorification. I will be saved. Well, Jesus takes up this great theme of Jubilee as a way of announcing salvation. His one sacrificial act on the cross has released me from bondage. That is a fact that is never going to change. It is my past tense salvation. I have been saved by grace through faith. It's happened. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour, you have been set free. But you know, I say that, let's be honest, Jesus says that, because a lot of people struggle to accept that and live in the light of it, and they go back to trying to earn salvation, worrying that they aren't good enough, that they won't be going to heaven as a result. I've got to keep on earning my salvation day by day. People, for example, like in the Galatian church, they started off trying to earn their way to heaven through obeying the law. Then they encountered Jesus and accepted his free gift of salvation that they could never earn. Then after a while, old habits started to take hold, and they went back to thinking that they really needed to go back to earning it. It's a lot more satisfying earning something with your own sweat and tears, blood, sweat and tears, rather than being given it as a gift. And so they went back to trying to earn it, which is why Paul had to remind them it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Slavery to what? Slavery to trying to earn that which is unearnable. The truth is, if we are Christians, we have been released from bondage. We are free indeed. And in this year of Silver Jubilee, we are believing for many to come into that freedom and start that new life in Christ. That is your past tense salvation. But Jubilee is also about present tense salvation. As I cooperate with him, Jesus is making me more and more into the person that I am supposed to be. Not the rejected, dispirited, negative person that I was, talking about me now, that's what I was. But the person who knows their identity, who knows that they're a child of God, who knows that they're loved, who knows that they're believed in, who knows that he actually likes me. He really does. My little theologian grandson who came up with that little nugget about liking me being better than loving me, which is true of God because he's got to love us because God is love, but he actually likes me as well. Whoa. Anyway, he was saying to me, yes, he did some kindness, and I said to him, yes, thank you very much, Harvey, that's lovely. He says, that's all right, Grandpa, that's my job. Well, that's God's job as well. He loves me and he likes me. I realise all of this. It is so liberating. And I am, well, I'm not who all I should be, that's for sure. But I'm not who I was either. And I know that I'm on the path to becoming the person that I am created to be. Now, that journey is going to take the rest of my life. But I know that I am not who I once was. I know that many of these icicles, we start off just fine and then life beats us up and we take wrong turns as well. And these are like icicles that grow on us. And you can't really snap them off and think you're healed. You've got to go into a warm room and have your icicles melted. Well, I know that I've got less icicles than when I first started. I've also discovered a load more icicles, I have to say, that I didn't even know I had. But I know that my icicles are melting and I'm on a journey. And Jesus promised that the blind will see, that the downtrodden will be freed from their oppressors. And I have experienced that in increasing measure in my walk with him. Increasingly, that which I was blind to, I am now seeing. Increasingly, that which has trodden me down no longer has power over me. I am not there yet, but I am living in the time of Jubilee. I'm a living example of Jubilee. So are you. And I believe that as part of becoming a Great Commission disciple that we've been thinking about as a church, this sanctification process is being ramped up this year. Indeed. Is it not Siri, is it? Do you know, I was, funnily enough, okay, this is a bit off piece and by the by. So I've downloaded a new app on my phone, right? And it's a sat nav app because I need it for I'm driving abroad soon. Anyway, it's voice activated. Did not know this. So I'm walking along. I'm talking to Jan. I suddenly hear a third person interjecting their thoughts into our conversation. Turns out it's my sat nav trying to get involved in the conversation. Living cheek. Anywho, never mind that. Never mind all of that. Yeah. I think this is being ramped up a bit this year. If you feel like the stakes are being raised more and more in your Christian life, I mean, it's just everything seems to be coming more into focus. The good, the bad, and the ugly. If you feel like God's expecting more from you, calling you to greater things, giving you bigger opportunities, it's because he probably is. You remember me talking about what if and saying, what if God is saying the status quo is no longer good enough? What if God says, I want you to expect more, believe bigger, aim higher? What if God says, I am calling you to trust more, to act in faith more? What if God says the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night is moving? Well, I think that's what we're seeing now. And that's both exciting and a little bit terrifying. But it's all part of Jubilee. Because where God calls, he equips. He's in the business of restoration, of saying to all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes. He restores us, not to put us on a shelf or in a display case, but to move forward on the journey of sanctification, present tense salvation. Can you lose your salvation? No. You can't lose your past tense salvation. Christ died on the cross for you. And if you accept that, that's it. Can you lose your salvation? Yes. Your present tense salvation goes up and down. Oh, how I wish it just went up, up and away. As I get better and better every day in every way. But it doesn't. It goes up and down, up and down. Can you lose your salvation? No. Your present, your future tense salvation is assured. If Christ died for you, if you are a new creation, then one day there will be this glorious welcome home in heaven. Wow. Wow. I'll say it for you. Don't worry, I'll give you the audience participation as well. Because Jubilee is also about future tense salvation. I will be saved. And on that day of going to glory, there will be such rejoicing. There is such joy ahead. He not only gives beauty for ashes here and now, he looks to the future and he promises joy instead of mourning, praise instead of despair. Ultimately, that joy and that praise is experienced as we finally see him face to face on that day when we will be saved. This is the ultimate focus of Jubilee. But on the way, because of all that he has done and is doing, Jubilee is about the expectation of rejoicing here and now. Now, how can we do that if life feels heavy at the moment? Well, we rejoice with others. We have joy as a community. When others are happy, be happy. Be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrows. The challenge of Jubilee is that we share with each other what God is doing in our lives so that we are in a position to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. It is amazing how encouraging it is, how mourning can turn to joy, how despair can turn to praise as we hear each other's testimonies. It's so encouraging hearing what God's doing in other people's lives. Honestly, let's return to this in our evening services. What happened to this? What's happened, congregation? We want to hear what God is doing in each other's lives. You've got a testimony? Share it. Please, come, let's get this back as the lifeblood of our evening services. Let's make it a feature in our Connect groups. Let's expect to rejoice when we get together. We're in a time of Jubilee, a time when God is turning mourning into joy, turning despair into praise. Now, my belief right now is that God is saying, expect more people to come to Christ. Expect more captives to be set free. Expect more testimonies as a result. Why? Because we're in a time of Jubilee. Jesus has brought in the time of Jubilee, the time of release, the time of restoration, the time of rejoicing. What a wonderful God! Is that really for us? Yes, because I am who I am says I am. You are who I am, says you are, but that doesn't sound so good. So you need to say it for yourself. I am who I am, says I am. I am in Jubilee. And that makes all the difference. My past is dealt with. My present is getting sorted out. And if you look at the final page, it turns out just great. Yes? Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our Jubilee. You are the one who ushers in that new age, not just briefly every 50 years, but we are in the time of Jubilee, the time of just knowing more and more the certainty of what you have done on the cross for us, for all those who will accept it. You have come to set the captives free. I am free indeed. And you've come to bind up the brokenhearted. You have come to bring freedom, to bring release, to bring me back to the identity that you have for me. I am being saved. And as I look ahead, I have an amazing future. I will be saved on that glorious day when I am called home. I will have this incredible reception committee. I will meet all those who have impacted me and I have been an impact on throughout life. Lord, I want to thank you that though I am not all I should be, I am not what I was. Though I am not where I should be, I'm not back at the place where I started. I thank you that I am on a journey, the journey of salvation, of sanctification. I thank you that I am living in the time of Jubilee. And I rejoice in that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we share communion together, we're going to turn again.